Welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio for Friday, July 19th. We're coming to you live today from the University of Sioux Falls. Our 800 number is 1-800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. You can also send us an email. That email address is midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. Today's panelist, Matt Guru, Joel Brovelite. Hello, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm wonderful, sir. How are things in Sioux Falls?
Couldn't be better.
I see that.
Except for it be cooler and not as humid.
I'm not going to complain because I don't want, you know, April 15th snowstorms again.
Well, I don't want those, but a little snow wouldn't hurt.
Nine Clouds Bro founder John T. Meyer there. Howdy. With the weather report. How are things?
Part-time weatherman.
Yeah.
I can pull it up here on my Google Glass if I need the weather quickly.
You can. You just tap the side of your head. It looks like you're tapping the side of your head. So.
Well, I am. 78 degrees.
All right. What? This is hotter than 78 degrees.
I guess I haven't been on Wi-Fi yet this morning, so.
Okay. All right.
Fail. 86.
Yeah. Technology integration specialist Jeff Litterick also joins us from Peer. Hello, Jeffrey.
Hello, all.
Welcome to the show, as usual. Remind our listeners, if you'd like a list of the links that we're going to talk about on today's show, we'll post those to the web pretty much all during the show. Facebook.com/techradio. I've already put a link out there. Interesting Kickstarter project for tracking whatever with your iOS device. So it's a little deal. You can put it on your keychain. You can, you know, super glue it to your laptop. You can, grocery basket. I mean, the thing's like over 8,000% of its goal.
Wow.
It's, you know, they were looking for a couple thousand dollars and they got, you know,
a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah. One of those deals. So
nice.
I thought that was interesting, and it's something that I would probably actually want. It would be really handy to be able to, you know, find those keys if you had to, or stick it to your phone, you know, or whatever you want to, a tablet or whatever, you could instantly track stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. So anyway, getting back to the point, facebook.com/techradio, we find something we like to talk about today, we'll put it on that webpage as well. Also, you can call us, 800-524-3604 is the number, and of course you can text us at 368-1677 or 368-1NPR. Send us a text and we will reply to you there as well, or respond to you, actually. Okay, so you're wearing this thing. You're taking pictures and shooting video today. John, we got to get the 500-pound gorilla in the room out of the way here.
Sure.
Google Glass.
Yeah, I'm wearing my Google Glass. I got it last week in San Francisco. I was selected as a Google Glass Explorer, part of their Explorer program. You had to submit a tweet or a G+ post. I took a picture, actually, of like Western South Dakota, the open flat plains, and said if I had glass, I'd showcase South Dakota in a different light. And I guess they liked the South Dakota cheese a little bit, the beauty. And so I got selected.
Tell us what Google Glass is if
Sure.
you don't know.
Yeah. So what Google Glass is essentially is, I like to just, in layman's terms, it's like kind of having a phone on your eye, more or less. It's a piece of wearable technology, which is kind of a buzzword we can talk about. But it's like a pair of glasses with just a little bit of, they don't cover your whole, all of your, both eyes are, it's just in the top right corner of your right eye, there is a little, I don't know, 1 inch by 1 inch piece of glass, almost like a little screen. You can look up to the right. It doesn't inhibit, you know, me looking at you guys, like having a conversation face to face. But it's, you know, hands-free technology kind of right there. So I can look up the weather. I can take pictures, record videos, make phone calls, send text, Google for directions. All of that with voice command, almost like a Siri, but it's right there on that wearable technology.
Okay. Do people in Sioux Falls know what this is when you're walking past them? I mean, because you didn't have a very good reception with this, with the Google Glass in San Francisco, apparently.
Yeah, so I've actually been writing a blog post about this, comparing the difference between Sioux Falls and San Francisco, and I've only had it for like a week and a half, and, you know, 3 days in San Francisco and about 6 days here in Sioux Falls. And in San Francisco, they knew about it. They knew what it was. Like, they knew that I was wearing Google Glass, but there was some uncertainty or maybe ignorance of what it actually did. I think some people thought I could pull up their social security number, see through walls, you know, do whatever. And so there was a little bit of fear, maybe. Whereas in Sioux Falls, it's been just confusion. You know, like, and this is a generalization, but, you know, what is that? One person asked if I had a medical condition. But just kind of curious, like curious, and just not sure what it was.
You know, and we've talked about adaptive technologies for people with, I mean, we probably don't want to go down this conversation right now, but that's not a horrible question to ask, I don't think. I mean, a bad question.
No, it, fact, to describe it to people who haven't seen a picture or maybe can't Google it right now, you know, it looks like a pair of glasses without lenses and like a little L-shaped, you know, part coming out of the right side that terminates with a, looks like a crystal. It's pretty small, actually, but it definitely, it's noticeable, and it doesn't look like a pair of glasses, and I think that's probably what trips people up. I think if it looked more like sunglasses or something, it'd probably be a little less noticeable.
And you made the joke when I walked in, and it wasn't the first time I got it, you know, the Star Trek reference.
Yes, of course.
And it does look a little Star Trek-y, a little geeky right now, but I think you can see, using this technology, you can see the potential of version 3 or 4, you know, down the road.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at it now, and like I said, it's noticeable. I have no doubt that what we're going to see in 2 years is a pair of glasses or sunglasses that basically has no noticeable differentiation.
Like bifocals.
Of course, yeah.
Or maybe even contacts someday.
The purpose is to access technology easily and have that visually available to you. Do you foresee...
You mean access the web?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't necessarily in and of itself access technology. It is
technology.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is like a phone. It doesn't access your phone. It is... I mean, it isn't a phone, but it has all of the same capabilities of your smartphone.
I mean, it's the... Like, if you see the... We can post... I'll post the kind of marketing video that Google has on the Facebook page. But they showcase, you know, a guy riding a roller coaster and a dad swinging his daughter around recording a video. Some young boys basically Skyping or doing a Google Hangout with their grandma because they're not there to see her for her birthday. You know, some of these things that are just hands-free, kind of more, having technology.
And certainly the ability to, you know, take a video or a picture. Without having, not just having it hands-free, but not having to make sure you brought another device or bring your phone with you. I mean, you basically head-mounted all-the-time camera if you want.
And it's interesting. I mean, there's a lot of discussions you can go. You know, we did a webinar at Nine Clouds about it. And, you know, at the same time, there's a discussion, there's already concern, are we becoming too connected with our devices, right? We can't leave our phones. We're too immersed in the digital world and not the real world.
We had that discussion last show.
Okay,
that
was good.
A little
bit. And I don't disagree with that either. And now
because we were talking about camping and summer activities and things like that. But, you know, I think in my estimation, we sort of dispelled a few myths about technology and personal space and things and being able to turn things off or not, or integrating into part of your life. But go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I just think it's an interesting topic, and I think I would say they're not scary. They're not creepy. Google Glass as an example, and there are other products on the market besides Google that are already creating things like this. But it's just different, and I like to compare it to a 1990s reference of the Zach Morris cell phone from Saved by the Bell. Mm-hmm. He had, you know, like the big box cell phone that's bigger than your coffee mug there.
Yeah.
To his ear, you know, and we were like, oh my gosh, cell phones people will never use that. You're not going to carry that around. Yeah. And now we all have one in our pocket.
It was amazing. So are these going to be released to the general public at a certain date, or are so this is kind of like a beta test?
A little bit, yeah. Okay. Although they made it like this great competition or this contest that you win, and then of course you still have to pay for it. And I had to go to San Francisco to get it.
Oh.
You had to either go to San Francisco, New York, or LA. Thankfully, we have some work clients in San Francisco, so it kind of turned into a business trip. But they didn't tell me a date, but they're saying late 2013. I would imagine they'll want to jump on the holiday season. Okay.
And do they have a retail price out there for that late 2013?
I believe it's going to be $1,500.
$1,500.
Yeah.
So. Which, you know, I have to say, for the capabilities and for being a 1.0 product, is very reasonable, you know, especially the you know, as well crafted as it is. It's actually quite a bit better built than I expected, frankly.
Sure, when you see it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's light titanium. I played softball with it on Monday and recorded a video of me batting. I stepped in the batter's box, said, okay, Glass, record a video. Then it starts a 10-second video, and I have a video of me hitting the softball. It's pretty cool.
I love that it actually comes with sunglasses, though.
Yeah, a little sunglasses attachment. It's nice.
Pretty slick.
For the all summer.
Right. Well, let's move on.
Yep, I'm good.
All right. Again, a reminder to listeners, facebook.com/techradio. We'll see if we can get a picture up of John with those so we can have folks have a reference there on the Facebook page. Our 800 number, again, is 800-524-3604. The number, and of course, our email address is midday@sdpb.org. I was just thinking, I'm going back to glass here again, but I was just thinking, you know, this would be, instead of taking a GoPro and sticking it on my motorcycle for Sturgis and riding through the Black Hills,
sure.
What I don't like about it is you get the forward view of the motorcycle the entire time, although it is a wider view. If I had something that was head-mounted like this, when I turned and looked over that guardrail sure. that plunges hundreds of feet down, you know, it would be really neat to get the perspective of the rider. You turn, you see other motorcycles.
Do you put your GoPro on your helmet or you put it on the bike?
I don't wear a helmet, but I... if I did, I would put it on the helmet.
Conversation to get
yeah.
into.
Yes, but I do, on the fairing, there's a suction mount that I just, you know, that I mount it to. There's good places on the motorcycle to stick it.
And like your helmet.
Like I'm hoping the good listeners of South Dakota will flood your inbox with get a helmet.
So I guess what you're telling me is I don't need Google Glass. I could just buy a helmet
yeah.
and stick my GoPro on there, and I'd be able to do exactly what I was just thinking.
I'm a Google Glass fan, but I'm trying to save you some money and save your life at
freedom.
The same time.
Freedom. Anyway. Okay. Well, without going down the whole abate argument, but I can see the convenience of that. And I would think that would be a really interesting, useful thing. How's the resolution on the camera? Is it?
It's quite good, actually. I think I don't know the megapixels. I guess I should probably look up the specs, or we can pull them up here. One interesting thing is it's not like when you grab your phone and zoom in and kind of frame your picture and you know say okay 1, 2, 3. It's a little bit. It's like what you see is what you get. You know, so it's a little bit more landscape. You know, I'm not going to kind of zoom in and frame my photo on Google Glass, but it's cool. If you're walking by the city street, I turned and there was the San Francisco trolley, and I said, okay, Glass, take a picture. And so I kind of got this very raw, kind of in-the-moment photo.
So here's some quick tech specs. It's a 5-megapixel camera, 720p HD video, 12 gigs of storage, mm-hmm. which is very good for the size of that device.
Yep.
And it's going to have to be... to shoot all those videos and pictures that you're talking about.
Yeah, and then, of course, so the other interesting thing we haven't gotten into yet is they now have what's called Glassware, which is essentially like their app store. And so if you're a developer, it's an exciting time if you do think this will be technology that'll catch on, because we're talking, there's like 100 apps in the store as opposed to, you know, millions in Apple and iOS or the Google market.
Okay.
So it's an interesting time that you know people are building applications to build on top of this technology.
Okay, and can you give us an example of an application that maybe you would use?
Sure. Right now I'm using simple ones like I have the New York Times, so I get news in my feed. You have a feed kind of in your Google Glass, so I can get that. I have Twitter, so if I get a mention on Twitter, I can actually see it up here. Facebook, Path, Tumblr, they have some of those social ones. And then I think people are starting to do other applications. Think of like, tourism. So when you're looking at something, kind of replacing maybe a little bit like QR codes, it kind of a little bit augmented reality where
Okay. All right.
You could look at a building and maybe pull up the facts or pull up the information about it right there.
That's what I find really interesting is we're going to the circle is going to completely close on the whole technology, and we're too connected that we don't see. Or participate in these activities.
Because it'll enhance.
It's going to be the point where in 5 years, where if you don't have one of those, you're going to want to rent one when you're going through this museum or this park or whatever, because it's going to recognize things, and you're going to find all of this information out that you wouldn't have access to without a device like this. So it's going to completely close that loop on being connected and being able to do your job or enjoy things, or not that you're going to have to have one to enjoy things, but
sure.
It's going to enhance so many things in your life.
Can you imagine being out hiking and you're looking at something and your glasses all of a sudden tell you, hey, don't touch that. That's poison ivy.
Sure. That's going to happen. That is going to happen.
Or I think, you know, we talk about part of the problem with phones is we're always looking down. And so we feel like we're missing moments and we're missing life because you're down on your phone, you're down on your gadgets, and you're stuck this is heads up experience. Enjoy it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just thinking, you know, for texting and driving, you know, the reason it's so dangerous is because your attention is
well. Technically, that's not true. The reason it's so distracted driving is just as bad as texting and driving, according to statistics. So I think it's just that your attention is diverted, not necessarily you should. Yeah, I don't think it would be any better. Although I think there'd be a lot of people that will use it that way. Unfortunately,
can't be worse than not wearing a helmet on a bike, though.
It cannot. But you luckily you do have to wear a seatbelt in your car.
With Cheers. That, we will take a quick break. We may be back after this. And we're back to the second segment of Dakota Midday Tech Radio. And the discussion is really framed around what you would like it to be framed around. Our 800 number is 1-800-524-3604. 3681677 is the number to text, 3681NPR. Or the email address is midday@stpb.org. John, we're going to keep things in your ball court here. We wanted to talk a little bit about some use scenarios for cell phones. You had the relative that got a new phone this week?
No, email I was talking. Email.
Oh, yeah, that's yeah. right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so my sister made she's fairly tech savvy, but she made the long-time switch from Yahoo Mail to Gmail. And she was asking, she's like, I feel like I'm not using this efficiently enough. Like, what are features in Gmail that I could use? So I thought a good topic of discussion might be, you know, for us, what do you use for email and what are kind of some pro tips on how you stay on top of email?
I'm wondering why she made the switch to begin with. Is it because she got an Android phone and she needed to have that address to log in?
No, she's got an iPhone. I'd have
Which
to
will
ask
integrate
her.
With all of the, you know, Yahoo, Google.
And I want to say that... I want to say that Gmail is better, but actually I don't have a lot of reasoning for that, just other than I've always used it. I'm sure that Yahoo has all the features.
The big ad is... You know,
I like how Google ties into like Drive, so you have that, which is like Dropbox, and we talked about the cloud before, Google Docs.
I think it's pretty obvious that Google Mail is better right now, although there have been some things that Yahoo has done lately that have maybe helped to improve the experience, certainly over what it was a few years ago. So it's yet to be seen whether they might make up some ground. But I think right now Google Mail, especially with the integration you're talking about, with lots of different, whether it's devices, is probably superior to any other mail service, in my opinion.
So I thought it'd be interesting to see, you know, around the room, Outlook, Yahoo, Gmail, Apple Mail, Mailbox. What do people use and what's, you know, we all get way too much email today, that's for sure. And so how do you keep up?
I don't really want to ask this question, but Jeff Litterick, how many email addresses do you have?
I actually have quite a few, but everything at this point is tied back into one single Gmail account. So all the different mail addresses I can send from and to from that one Gmail account. So
you basically pop and what's the acronym POP? Is that something the post office
or IMAP?
It stands for Post Office Protocol.
Okay.
Most people won't get that, but what it is a mechanism that you can exchange or download mail from a mail server, and IMAP is kind of the same way. And what happens is, even if you have other mail accounts, you can use those protocols with Gmail to download your mail and actually send mail out from any of your other accounts, if your ISP allows it. Not all ISPs allow that, but most do. So,
yeah, and I've got to confess, back in the day, that's why I started using Gmail, was to be able to take all those other email addresses, put them in one place, and then the added bonus, I'm going to be totally upfront about this, the main reason I did it was for the spam filtering.
Sure.
At the time... You were either paying somebody else or using another service to do your spam filtering for you, because spam was so completely horrible.
And to this day, Gmail still has the best spam filtering. Though I will say this week, I think Gmail's rolling out a new feature in their inbox where it separates it into different tabs. And while it's a good idea, the implementation, because you can't really control what goes in what tab, kind of broke for me, where stuff was just getting kind of put in the wrong tabs and stuff, so I had to turn on all off. So they can stumble from time to time, too. I mean, people may like the new tabbed inbox. I did it. I turned it back off just because it was making a few too many mistakes. But I still like Gmail as the best mail client I've ever used, so.
Yeah, and
especially for searching. If you need to do searching or you store a lot of emails, I have probably, I'm going to say, close to 20,000 emails stored. To find any particular email, it's just a few seconds. You go to the search tab, you start typing it. It's just a very efficient, you know, engine for searching and storing that email data.
Yeah, you've got about four times as much as I've got in there. But I've found that, you know, there are these events in my life that I tend to concentrate a lot of time on and a lot of effort for very short periods, and then don't either think about it or whatever for quite a while, long enough that my short-term memory and anything I would have committed to memory on details is long gone. I need to go back to Google, remember who I interacted with on that event or search for that event, and boom, there's all my information again. How
and
many
I really
T-shirts
like
I ordered
how it
order for
the
this?
Conversations
or
in email.
Yeah, threads.
So sometimes they're a break, but most of the times it's very smart about showing you where you are at, telling you where the last person is, and just keeping a flow so that you can read sensibly the flow of the conversation if you have to go back and reread all the emails in the chain.
Well, I think you joked about, you know, the volume of Jeff's email addresses and how many he has, but I think that's a very real situation. People have multiple email addresses, and being able to direct them to one, and then in Gmail, when you respond, you can choose who you respond as. So I can respond as John at NineClouds or John Meyer at Gmail.
And that's just a pull-down tab, and that's really that's really nice. So I guess the question is then, is there a hidden feature, or I guess we're trying to ferret out a trick, but there really isn't a trick. You're just into this kind of an ecosystem, because along the top you've got you know, Maps and Play and YouTube and News and Gmail and Drive and Calendar, and it's just a matter of using those if you want to get the best out of it, you know, getting your calendar events in there.
I will point out that's probably the scariest part of using Gmail for me. That's why I keep those other email accounts, though, too, is because just like Google Reader, my favorite Google app of all time, got discontinued July 1st.
Sure.
I'm doubting Gmail is going to go away, but Google at any time can, you know, just turn off the lights. So on parts of the ecosystem that you really enjoy and tie into with Gmail. So that's also the scariest part, but
sure.
I'm still going to be using Gmail for some time.
Why did Reader go away the 1st of July?
Yeah, that was go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Google, every once in a while, and they've actually announced some more retirements coming up here soon, every once in a while reviews all their services. And just across the top is their more popular service. But if you actually click and you go into more and see all the services they offer, I mean, they offer hundreds of integrated services for all sorts of very unique things, including they used to monitor health. You could store your health information up there. They have the wallet. They have
why did Reader go away?
Just about everything. But every once in a while they review, and the ones that are not popular, they don't feel that they want to develop anymore on, they just cancel. And this Reader is actually in the latest rounds. They've canceled a lot of other ones before, including some photo ones that were really popular. Though, remember, in Google's ecosystem, if 50% of the users, and that's millions upon millions of users, are using it, it's not that popular. And Reader, we know at least about 6 to 7 million were using it, because that's what kind of migrated off into the different other feed services out there, or at least that's what the different feed services are claiming. So even being that popular, they still felt it was a dead end and just decided to close it down.
So are there good free alternatives to Reader then, or
yeah,
are there? Yeah,
most of the people went over to Feedly. Feedly, which actually integrates with Google, and before it closed down, would integrate with your feeds and auto back them up and migrate them all over and stuff. Though it's not for everyone. Some people are using other ones. There's a variety of paid ones now and free ones. None of them really are perfect to where Google Reader was, but they are close. But it just kind of goes to show you that even if they have 3-4 million users, that doesn't mean Google won't shut off a service if they deem they need to or don't want to develop it anymore. So that is always the scary part with working with Google, because people have been bitten. Readers, just the current example, have been bitten before on when they, you know, decided to shut the doors on different things. So
yeah, I really enjoyed the service because it was free and it was integrated with everything I was doing, and I really never found a fit for RSS news feeds. Browser integration was always clumsy for me, and having that third-party app that I always had to fire up really wasn't my thing either. So, and they never did they have they ever integrated RSS news feeds in TweetDeck? I know, you know, users have been begging for that for ever since TweetDeck's been around, but I don't think that app ever integrated anything from that too. So it was this was kind of this area that they really needed to come in and fill the niche, and now they've gotten rid of it. So I'm a little dismayed.
It's kind of funny because Google basically took over the RSS reader. I mean, even the standalone ones out there, like for my iPad and stuff, all use Google Reader. They basically, everyone tell you, go sign up for Google Reader, manage all your subscriptions there, and then use whatever third party you want to actually read the articles and data. And they really took over the whole market, and about the time they consolidated and everyone else kind of mostly disappeared, they decided to drop it, and you saw a whole bunch of new competitors popping up out of the woodwork real fast overnight trying to get their systems back up and running.
Well, we should maybe back up and tell everybody what we're talking about here, these RSS news feeds. We all know what they are, but do you have a really quick way of making a synopsis out of that, Joel?
I mean, I like to think of an RSS reader or RSS news feed as the paper boy. You know, like the newspaper boy comes and throws the paper onto your doorstep and said, hey, here's your news for the day. He's been doing that for years.
Yeah.
This is, you sign up for an RSS feed and you tell, I want to be notified when there's new content on the site, new posts, new articles, rather than I'm going to go to ESPN.com and click on the Twins or click on baseball, then click on Twins and then see if there's any new articles. I could sign up and it'll just come to me.
Right.
That's my layman's term.
Well, yeah, and it's you don't have to go to the website of a company or an institution or something and look for new information. It's being pushed out to you.
Yep.
Is the way I liked it. But it was pushed in such a way that, you know, you opened up your thing and that displayed in a very organized manner the latest of whatever. And
RSS, what it does is it, a lot of times, depending on how you're using it, it strips out all of the ad content and pictures and video and whatever and gives you a lot of times RSS is set up to abbreviate to really simple syndication, which isn't really true. It's actually RDF site summary is what RSS stands for. But what it does is exactly like it sounds. It summarizes that link, and then if you want to go directly to that source, you can do that depending on what you use. But what it is kind of an XML feature built into any web browser that allows you to access content in a kind of a summary.
Right, and all the content management systems that people are using for their websites nowadays, that's all sort of baked right in there. Mm-hmm. So, and that's a good feature for that.
But, you know, because Google doesn't have a reader available anymore, it doesn't mean that Google just abandoned RSS altogether. It's just built into several other products. And frankly, I think the reason they abandoned it, although they haven't said this, is that they just couldn't find any money, any way to monetize it, because RSS by in and of itself strips out ads and it doesn't really set you up as a place to get ads. So it doesn't make much sense for them to have a product that they can't make any money on.
True. I think it's just the way we consume content is changing a lot too. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's just like we don't have enough users on Google Reader. I think it was a future move. They just don't think mm-hmm. people are going to go into a Reader and just flip through articles.
It's certainly not the most feature rich way to do so.
But if their data, so you
just because you get mail for free, doesn't mean it's a good idea.
but you get mail for free, and the reason is because they get all the data.
Oh, you bet.
Well, okay. they put ads on the side of your Gmail also in the web,
and they get all the data.
You can block that with a plugin, but
if you go through Google Apps and like a small business and you want to pay, you can actually have them remove the ads and stuff too, and you'd pay per user of the business. So there is a paid option, but for most part, I would recommend the free version for most people unless you're really paranoid.
Then we actually do pay for at Lemonly and NineClouds pay for Google Apps. So just because we have more, like we want, you know, addresses that end not in Gmail, so john@nineclouds.com. And so once we had more than 10 users as our team grew, we had to pay, and we also get more storage and a couple other features. But that's just how much I still like Gmail that much. Okay. I pay for it.
Well, are we answering the original question here, which is kind of that thing? I just found these tabs that Jeff is talking about. Otherwise, I probably would have just looked over them now. I've got a tab that says primary, a tab that says social, and a tab that says promotions. And promotions seem to be all those emails from those companies that I've ever bought a product from are now in a tab. They're not in my main feed.
And
all my social is everything
you can
from
add if you hit the plus. There's a social tab and one more tab you can add if you wish. And you can remove them the same way with that plus sign next to the tab.
Some people don't like, if you've come from the Outlook world, that Gmail doesn't have folders. What the Gmail uses is labels. So you create labels, and then you would say, you know, like family. And these are all emails from family.
Yeah.
And then what I do, I'm a big guy. I can't stand the little black number or the red number that says how many unread emails I have. So I'm a big archive guy. I don't delete things, but I archive them, get them out of my inbox, and then searching in your inbox through the search box in Gmail is really powerful. So then if I need to pull up an email that Joel's ever sent me, I can search Joel and search his name.
So do you actively manage your inbox then? I mean, how many are sitting in your inbox right now? Not very many?
I'm behind, and I'm probably at like 45. So okay. I usually try to stay under 20 emails.
See, what was sexy to me from day one with Gmail was they said, hey, we're going to give you so much space, you don't have to clean out your inbox.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of people that way too. My brother, like, it's just personality. He's got 3,000 or so, 4,000 unread emails, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's just kind of how you like to do it.
I'm not saying mine are unread. I'm just saying I never tag. I don't get around to tagging them to move them off into a folder. You know, I'm using air quotes here, folder or whatever. I don't. You know, there's a lot of stuff that could be deleted. It probably should be deleted.
And that's the root of my question was, how do people like to use email? Because I don't think there's a right way. I just think everyone does it differently.
No, and it is your preference. For example, I use some tabs, but most of it just goes to all mail. But I get it out of the inbox just so that I know how I've dealt with it in some way. I have either looked at it and dismissed it or read it. And that way, it's just my inbox is what I have to, you know, at least look at or acknowledge. And my all mail is where I just search all my old mail. So, but you can use lots of tabs to make it look like folder system. You can use the new tab inbox system where you have primary, and then all your Facebook feeds go into a different tab automatically. There's lots of ways to do it, and you can always turn all these functions off in Gmail. That's why I think it's so powerful, too. Between the search engine and the spam and antivirus stuff, it just seems to be the best, most complete, flexible mail client out there.
Did anybody in the room here, quick, before we go to break, do we use the address book sort of capability of Gmail to manage what goes on our phones and our other devices?
Contacts.
I do, because I have an Android phone, and it syncs real well back and forth, so I use it quite a bit, but that's probably because I have an Android phone, and it just syncs so well and ties everything in.
Okay. Well, we'll go to break, and when we come back, we've got a couple of NineClouds things to talk about, Academy and more, I guess.
Questions. We'll take questions.
We'll take questions. So after this quick break, we'll come back and have the third segment of the show. And welcome back to the third half of the show.
We're so excited. I just kept talking.
Yeah. Well, we do that quite a bit during the break. A reminder to listeners, if you like a list of things that we're talking about on today's show, we post those to the web as the show progresses. Facebook.com/techradio. Do we have a picture of John up there yet?
I emailed it to. Yeah, yes, we have a picture, but it's not up there yet. Okay. But it will be.
All right. Well, we'll have it up
cool
there
I look.
Very soon.
This is pretty cool, the tile here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, go ahead.
We're talking about the tile thing that we talked at. Did we talk about it before?
You just mentioned the Kickstarter. I don't know. Was that on air? That was before the show.
Yeah, I think it was on air.
Okay.
Well, maybe it was before the show.
We don't know. We just.
It's just a continuing.
Who knows? Leave us here for 4 hours. We'll talk about the same stuff.
It's 8,300%.
Yeah, so we're talking about this Kickstarter that for a device called a Tile, which basically it's about a 1-inch square, very thin thing that you can stick to whatever you want, hook it on your kid's backpack or your set of keys or whatever you want, and find that tile with your iOS device, so your iPhone or your iPad. And it's got sound integration. As you get closer, it'll beep for you. It's $20. It hasn't been produced yet, but their Kickstarter was 8,000% funded. So they are asking for like $80,000, and so far they're at $1 million or something like that.
1.6 million,
I
think. Yeah,
ridiculous. So very cool. You can check it out on the tileapp.com if you want. So we were just kind of marveling at that. I did have a tech thing to talk about, a tech support thing that happened as we were sitting here for John. He doesn't even know about it yet.
I couldn't ask you.
So, we got to the beautiful USF studios. We didn't even talk that we're in a new studio here. Right. And because we're so used to hooking up over at SDN, we don't have the have everything figured out to get internet. So I had some trouble, and John had some trouble off the beginning, and John still hasn't hooked up. But the reason is, I figured out, is there's an incompatibility with their login system for the guest use Wi-Fi around here with both Google Chrome and Safari. And this is something I've done for years and years and years. I always have at least 4 or 5 different web browsers that are available, downloaded and on my devices, because this comes up where a web browser will just have a funny little sticky wicket with a certain, online login thing. So I did what I always do. I went through my browsers in my preference, and no, that didn't work. No, that didn't work. And finally, I got down to Firefox and logged in and was able to hook up to the Wi-Fi. And it was only because there was an incompatibility. So, John, you need to download, next time you have internet, download, I would recommend, since you have both Chrome and Safari, download Firefox and Opera. So you have a few other web browsers.
So I used to
have
Firefox, but I just loved Chrome so much.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of people do that. And I don't use it for anything other than, there's a couple bill pay things that I get.
I can only name 5 operating, Opera and Internet Explorer.
There are a few. There are a few other open source ones. Just, sure. If you see a web browser, they're not big. They don't take up a lot of space.
No.
So just if you've got a computer, and this would work for PCs as well as Macs.
So you finally got on here at USF using Firefox.
Yeah, I got on, it was like my third try. Firefox is usually my third try. So I would recommend that for anyone.
I have websites I go to and they say, this doesn't work in this browser you're trying to use. Go use X.
Well, the funny thing is, a lot of them don't even tell you that they don't work with a certain browser. They just don't work.
Yeah, so I guess I appreciate that fact, but
I know from our days, we used to kind of make some websites at Nine Clouds, and now, we don't do that, but colleagues in that space, that's probably the hardest job of launching websites is browser testing.
Yeah, I mean, because not only are you talking about...
Yeah, people are still at banks who are using IE7, IE6 sometimes.
Yeah, because, you're not only talking different web browsers, but different versions of web browsers. And that's... Having several web browsers is my way of getting around several different versions because, eventually you're going to try something that's going to work. And it's really hard to have multiple versions of the same web browser on your computer. So I don't recommend that.
Yep.
So... I think, was it today that they announced for Chrome? You're a big Chrome fan. I think they announced the Chrome web.
No, I like Chrome.
He loves Chrome.
I like Firefox, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He loves
Chrome.
My bad. So they announced the Chrome web store.
Oh, okay.
Today. I think it was today, or it was very recently.
That I didn't know that.
Yeah,
is that apps or plugins?
That's exactly what it is.
Sure.
And so there are a few reviews out there on the web if you search for them. I'll try to get a link up again on the Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. I'll try to get a link up, but there are some, like the top 10 browser extensions or plugins. Some of them have to do with creativity. Some of them have to do with productivity. I guess it all depends on what you're there for.
Sure.
Are you there to play or are you there to do business? There was a couple that looked really interesting. I use LastPass has been integrated now into Chrome. I use it on Firefox, but it's now in the Chrome web store. But there are some interesting, like, cut and paste kind of things and all these different modifications you can do to your browser now.
I really like one called Pocket, which I also use on my iPhone, iOS app. Okay. And it's not quite an RSS reader, but more of like a read later type of thing. So when you're offline, if I see an article I like, if I don't have the time or don't want to read it right now, I put it in my pocket. And then if I'm on the go or on an airplane,
What it does
is
it goes
the bus
through
or something,
and
you can,
goes through and downloads all the information and then several links deep from that.
So you can be offline and still
read
those articles. And there's a lot of different things. There's README Later, there's Instapaper, other things that do that same thing.
Okay. Well, are you using any extensions, Joel?
I don't use any unless I have to. It
slows down your experience? Or?
Yeah, well, it does tend to slow down the web experience, but, I change my system so fast and I have, several systems. I hate to get reliant on something like that. and not have it accessible. So I will vet apps and plugins pretty heavily and make sure that I want to kind of set my experience up with that for all of my devices. And frankly, if it doesn't work on all my devices, it's not something I'm
I think you should
in.
Bring back LastPass, or I know there's also, I think it's called 1Password, but I think that's a very real problem that a lot of people have, is remembering passwords, being smart enough to change your passwords every once in a while. And so these applications allow you a secure place to keep your passwords so you remember them.
Yeah, and with LastPass, you can even download an encrypted file onto a thumb drive if you need to, and to carry those passwords with you, or just really log on from anywhere and remember one good password versus dozens, because if you think about your credit cards, your banks, just gaming in general, there's dozens. The more you game, the more passwords.
Yeah, pretty much everything needs a password.
BattleNet and ArenaNet and whatever net and all that other stuff, you know, all the MSN stuff, the Xboxes and PlayStations, and everything's got a different username, password, and you never want to use that same the same password across multiple platforms like that, because if the you know, the PlayStation gets hacked.
Sure.
All of a sudden, they've got
your credit card.
Not good. So,
They do still recommend changing them, even if you have good ones, you know, to rotate them or do something.
Yeah, you don't ever want to, as far as passwords, you don't want to have the same password you've always had.
Yeah.
You should be changing that every 6 months, every year. For certain, every year, you should change your password, whether you need to or not.
Integrated into LastPass is a random character generator thing for passwords. You tell it if you want special characters, what special characters, and how long you want it, and you just kind of hit the button until you find one you want. And then, you know, there's no way you can, unless you have a really unique set of skills, there's no way that you can remember any of these.
Sure.
You know, these 10, 20, you know, and depending on the website you're using or the app you're using, you can have heinously long passwords now.
I actually had a password issue with my password being cached on my phone. I lent my phone to somebody to make a phone call. And for some reason, they opened the web browser and clicked on something and posted something in my Facebook account, which, if you know me, I'm not on my Facebook very often. So all of a sudden, I get a couple of texts and a phone call from somebody saying, "Hey, do you know what you just posted on Facebook?" I said, "I do not." It was about 15 minutes later, and you know, it was a complete accident. And then, of course, I went and logged out of Facebook, but it had been logged into Facebook for, you know, 3 weeks on my phone, basically. And I think I'm a relatively tech-savvy guy, but I had just not checked that.
I hope
that.
So, you're on this show.
You've never been pranked. I mean, teachers, parents have all had their kids wander up, grab their device, and post something that was...
How many people have their, like, Wi-Fi password is the same as their bank account? You know, it's just like,
oh, yeah, a lot of people.
Dear.
Yeah, we could do a whole show on passwords, and probably should at some point. Hey, you know, I did want to talk about one thing that was in the news that a lot of people have probably heard of. That the show shows from Netflix nominated for Emmys.
Lots of Emmys.
Both, 14, I think. House of Cards and
Arrested Development
both got several Emmy nominations. So remember about 6 months ago I said this is going to be the year that it's all going to go over the edge. That's
Should
the first.
On
that's
the back?
The, not yet, but that's the start of it. You know, they needed to be, do some shows that were
by,
that were
proofed.
Good enough that they were getting nominations. So if they win, you're going to see a lot of people jumping ship to online only content.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, we will. Yeah, we're going to need to do another show on that.
It's just going to get bigger and bigger.
Back on wearable technology, quick on the news. I also saw Apple is rumored to have filed a patent, I believe, for iWatch.
Yeah. You know,
there's been a lot of talk about iWatch.
Yeah, I think what a lot of people think the iWatch might be is different from what it's actually going to be. I think the iWatch will be, if they call it that, which I kind of hope they don't. I don't much like that name. Until they come out with it, then I'll love it. But I think it's going to be an add-on to your phone. I don't think it's going to be a phone in and of itself. I think it's going to be more like the Google Glass so that you have you know, a quick access to a phone call that might be coming in, so you can just check it without having to dig your phone out and whatever. It's going to be in addition to your device, not necessarily a replacement for your device.
Are you watching the phone, or is the or the watch, or is the watch watching you?
Hard to tell, but I, you know, I have often wanted a device where I could, you know, quick, you know, turn the volume up or something.
Well, there's validation there, I think. I mean, it may be mixed reviews now, but the Pebble Watch just had, you know, what did they raise, $10 million on Kickstarter? It's the biggest Kickstarter ever. People wanted that device.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself, I'm out working in the lawn, and I have my phone with me all the time because, you know, it's my watch and whatever. But if I could get a phone call and check who it's from so I could run and go get it or ignore it if it's, you know, somebody I don't need to talk to, that would be very handy. And actually, the Google Glass is right up that alley. I think they're in the same space, so it's going to be a really interesting couple of years, I think.
Yeah. We've got a couple of things we got to get in the show today because next Friday is SysAdmin Day.
Okay.
We will not be on the air for that. This would be the first time in like 5 years we haven't been on the air for SysAdmin Day. And our local SysAdmin, his chair is empty right here, Amos, had something.
He's getting ready to celebrate, I think.
Something go wrong right before the show, so he had to go fix that. So he's off doing SysAdmin things. And this is your, if he were here today, he would be telling this, this is your 1 week warning that next Friday.
So what does SysAdmin Day mean to people that don't know what that means?
Give them a piece of cake or what happens?
Who is your SysAdmin? What are they in your work?
Well, and one person is Jeff Litterick. He's on the line right
not
now.
Specifically
he
who,
keeps
but,
me safe.
But who should we honor on SysAdmin Day? That's my question.
The broadest sense is whoever makes your technology run.
There
now,
you
nowadays.
Go. Good answer.
All right. Hey,
so whoever makes your technology run next Friday, it's just like Administrative Assistant Day. It's SysAdmin Day. So if your son keeps track of your computer for you, Mom, or if whoever runs the computers in your office, you need to bring them donuts and Jolt Cola.
What was the what's the guy's name on Saturday Night Live that was the tech guy that came around? He was really surly.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so that guy at the office that makes sure that the printer stays online and all that stuff, that's the day to bring him a bag of Doritos or some Mountain Dew or, you know, bake something or whatever.
Don't bring him anything healthy because clearly you wouldn't want that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what
not.
We're telling you.
So again, SysAdmin Day and just Google. Well, I'll put a link up on the Facebook page, but Google SysAdmin Day. There are some hilarious videos that have been posted over the years that are nice to review once a year that are kind of inside the ballpark or inside the, you know, whatever.
Genre.
Yeah. So if you're kind of a nerdy person, you will appreciate many of these things in these videos to begin with. So take a few minutes to go out and do that. We have a couple of Nine Clouds things I want to mention. We've got a Nine Clouds Academy launched.
Yeah, we launched a new product called the Academy, which essentially is now our community for, we want to, you know, in 4 years, we just turned four. We've helped about over 200 businesses in those 4 years. And now we're setting the mark at 1,000. And we want to try to, in the next 4 or 5 years, reach 1,000. And we can through the Academy. So the idea is a community for just $27 a month. And actually, we're doing a $1 trial. So you can sign up for $1 for the first month. And if you don't like it. But it's a community. You get one-on-one conversations. You get other business owners, marketers, people trying to learn about social media, about tech.
Okay.
So you go to nineclouds.com/academy.
Okay. Then in a few months...
Yeah, we could talk about it later, but in September for the South Sioux Falls area and surrounding area, we have an event in September called the Innovation Expo where we partner with the Enterprise Institute, a nonprofit in Brookings and Sioux Falls that helps entrepreneurs get started.
Okay.
So the Innovation Expo will be September 17th at the Orpheum downtown.
Okay. So we want to get that in our Google Calendar.
Yeah, more details later.
Okay. Well I'm sure we'll talk about it on the show as well. So our next show, August 3rd. Is the next Tech Radio. Please join us then. A reminder to listeners, if you joined us late, an MP3 version of this show is posted to the web.
It'd be the second. The third is the Saturday.
I'm sorry. Saturday. Yeah, you're right. I'm being Sturgis on the third. Be Tech Radioing on
wearing your
helmet. The second. I will consider that. So again, join us August 2nd. The website, sdpb.org. Stay tuned to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. NPR News is next, followed by Talk of the Nation Science Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody.